And a very good Monday morning, afternoon, evening, everyone. Joe Beningo back with you again, the Oh the Pain podcast. Monday, May 6th, 2024, the Joe Beningo the Pain podcast brought to you by the Hackensack Brewing Company, by Anita Discount Tire, by DraftKings, and our good friends at Manscaped. Again, I just did the little chorus of the Billy Joel's classic, This Is a Time to Remember. And if you're a fan of the Knicks and the Rangers, this is a time to remember. Both teams in the second round of the playoffs. We got a week here again at the Garden, which started yesterday. We'll get to the Rangers winning game one against Carolina. A game every night right through Wednesday at the Garden. The Rangers yesterday, the Knicks tonight, the Rangers tomorrow, the Knicks on Wednesday night. And yesterday, game one, round two, Eastern Conference semifinals. The Rangers beat the Hurricanes 4-3. And really, the story of this game, and I really think the story not only of the rest of this series, but right on through, if the Rangers are going to go on and win this Stanley Cup, is special teams. And we saw it again yesterday. You look at the ranking, you know, it's interesting. The Rangers were third overall on the power play in the league and third overall on the penalty kill in the entire NHL. The Carolina Hurricane, number one in the penalty kill, number two on the power play. Well, yesterday, the team that was behind them looked like the best team in the league on the power play and the penalty kill. And I think they are. The Rangers 2-for-2 on the power play. Mika Zibanejad and Vincent Trocheck both scoring power play goals. And both of them, like 30 seconds into the power play. How about that? Unbelievable. The Rangers 2-for-2 on the power play. The Hurricanes 0-for-5 on the power plays. The Rangers killed off every one of the power play. And the last one was kind of, you know, not really a power play because with 40 seconds to go in the game and the Rangers holding on to a 4-3 lead and holding on by a fingernail, and you should have seen the Beningo household at about at that time, Vincent Trocheck flips the puck over the boards and gets called for a ridiculous penalty. Now, it was a penalty, but I mean, you know, nevertheless, fortunately, and at that point, remember, the Hurricane had already pulled their goalie, Anderson, and scored a goal to cut it to 4-3 with less than 2 minutes to go in the game, and you're really hanging on by fingernails at that point. Trocheck gets that penalty. It looks like the Hurricanes are going to have basically a two-man advantage with the goalie pulled. And then about 10 seconds into their power play, a penalty, I forget who it was for the Hurricane, really wipes out Adam Fox. So that negates the power play. Both teams get a 4-on-4, and that kind of sealed the deal when all was said and done for the Ranger win. But that was the story of this game. The Rangers dominant on special teams. And that's been the story throughout the first five games of the playoffs. You look at the 15 goals the Rangers had in this sweep of Washington, 8 of the 15 were scored by special teams. They had 6 power play goals and 2 shorthanded goals. They had 2 more power play goals yesterday. So in the 5 games so far in the playoffs, and the Rangers obviously have won all 5 of them, 8 power play goals by the Rangers. And the star of the show yesterday was Mika Zibanejad, and he's been great. And really, I think that's the thing, too, when you look at what's happened so far. By the way, the last time the Rangers won their first 5 games in the playoffs, it was 1994, 30 years ago, when they won the Stanley Cup. So that bodes well for that. We'll see. But they're getting it from the big guys. And I've said this over and over and over again. I don't care where the Rangers ranked as far as their power play in the NHL. And as I said, it was third overall with Carolina ahead of them by a spot. You tell me who's got a more lethal power play than the Rangers. You look at their number one power play unit. I mean, there's nobody that's got the firepower they have. Adam Fox at the point, Panarin, Kreider, Zibanejad, and Vincent Trocheck. That is the best power play in hockey. Let's tell it like it is. The best. And like I said, they had 2 power play opportunities and it scored goals in less than 30 seconds on both of them. Tremendous win for the Rangers. Now, look, this was not easy. The Rangers scored early, had that 1-0 lead. Zibanejad scored early on and a nice play from Jack Roslovic to give him 1-0 lead. Carolina came back to tie the game at 1-1. The Rangers then scored the next two goals, both on the power play. As I mentioned, one by Zibanejad, just a beautiful feed, backhanded feed across the crease by Chris Kreider. And then Trocheck scored the one that made it 3-1. And it was 3-1. That was at the end of the first period. There was no scoring in the second period. 3-1 going into the third. Carolina scored to make it 3-2. And you're really, you're holding on. And then Artemi Panarin, who really not only, you know, was the best Ranger all year long and should be the MVP of the league, of course, he'll never get it, but nevertheless, scored his third goal of the playoffs. That proved to be the game winner. As I said, at the end of the game, the Hurricanes pulled the goalie Anderson with about 2-something left, 2:20 or so left in the third period. They did get that one goal to make it 4-3, and then we mentioned how it ended. The last 40 seconds, the Trocheck penalty, but then it was negated by a penalty by Carolina, and the Rangers hold on to win it 4-3. The one thing that really gets me here, and I got to tell you this, and I know Laviolette was upset again about the officiating. I mean, the Rangers, you know, you go back to the series against Washington. There was that one game when the Capitals got six power plays, six. Now, the Rangers killed every one of them, but come on. And yesterday, Carolina gets five. And again, the Rangers killed every one of them. And that's going to be the story, I think, of the Rangers as far as they go. Their special teams are the best. I don't care where they ranked overall in the league. They have the best special teams in hockey. And here's something else the Rangers have. And I've talked about it over and over again. They got the best goalie in hockey in Igor Shesterkin, who outplayed Anderson yesterday. He gave up a couple goals, no doubt about it, but he continues to make the big save when he has to. He had that one breakaway by, I forget who it was that had the breakaway. Was it Oshie? One of those guys for Carolina. And he stoned that one, stopped that one, made some big saves in the closing minutes of this game. What else can you say? Right now, if you're a fan of the New York Rangers, you are riding extremely high, and this gets me too, and this has to affect the Rangers overall, right? The fact that they are underdogs in this series. How the hell can they be underdogs in this series? They had the best record in the league, they had the most points in the league, they won the President's Cup, yet here they are, right, underdogs to the team that they beat in their division, Carolina. Now, Carolina had 111 points, they had a tremendous year, and this team is vastly superior to the Washington Capitals. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But the Rangers did what they had to do. They escaped with a game one victory and lead the series one game to none. Game two coming up on Tuesday at the Garden. Big game two yesterday. Jacob Trouba had a tremendous game on defense. And the Rangers defense has really played, they played great hockey all the way around. You know, let's be honest, Fox, Trouba, Keandre Miller, Eric Gustafson, Braden Schneider, right on down the line. Ryan Lindgren, their defense has been outstanding. So the Rangers now fifth straight victory in the playoffs, and they lead Carolina one game to none. I tell you, I can't say enough. I am beside myself with excitement about what's going on at Madison Square Garden. And now we move to tonight, game one of the series between the Knicks and the Pacers at the Garden. This is the eighth time overall that the Knicks and Pacers will play in a playoff series. Now, the Pacers have won four of the seven so far. The last one, of course, coming in 2013 when they beat the Knicks in the second round of the playoffs in six games. Of course, game six in Indiana, as we all remember. The big play of that game, Carmelo Anthony going to the basket for a dunk and Roy Hibbert stoning him at the net. And that became the, at the rim, as you will, and that became the signature play of that series as Indiana went on to win it in six games. But it has been, you know, these two teams have gone at it many, many, many a time. You go back to 1993 and when the Knicks beat them in the first round miniseries in four games. 1994 when the Knicks beat the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals in that classic seven-game series. I could see it now. Game seven, Starks driving the lane, missing the layup, and Patrick Ewing with that putback slam. as the Knicks went on to the finals for the first time at that point in 21 years. Patrick Ewing, one of his great games he ever had, 24 points and 22 rebounds. 1995, when the Pacers beat the Knicks in seven games, ending with the Patrick Ewing finger roll in Game 7. And, of course, they really lost that series in Game 1 when the Knicks had a seven-point lead with 18 seconds left and blew it as Reggie Miller hit those two threes, really knocked Greg Anthony down, but wound up getting those two three-pointers. Remember, John Starks missed two big free throws in that game as well. And remember this, Knicks fans. One thing that we have seen in the series against Philadelphia, the Knicks foul shooting has not been great. And over the years, especially in the Ewing years, when the Knicks have lost big playoff games, foul shooting has been a major reason why. I mentioned those two free throws that Starks missed in Game 1 in 95 against Indiana, and they went on to lose that game in the series. Remember, in the Charles Smith Memorial in 1993, the Knicks missed 15 foul shots in that game. We all remember Charles Smith under the rim, but 15 free throw misses. So that's something that has hurt this team a little bit. Now, they made some big free throws at the end of Game 6. Jalen Brunson had a couple big ones. So did DiVincenzo. But they have not shot well from the free throw line. And that's something that they got to address going forward because, as I've said, you look back at the history of the Knicks playoff losses, a lot of those games, they have not shot well from the free throw line. But that was 1995. The Pacers went on to win it in 7. And, of course, that was a major watershed moment in the history of the franchise because that turned out to be the final game for Pat Riley as head coach of the Knicks. So we all know how it kind of went from there. They didn't play him in 96 or 97. And then, of course, in 1998, they lost in the second round to the Knicks to Indiana. I believe that was a six-game series. Indiana won that in 6. And then, of course, 1999, when the Knicks beat the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 3, Larry Johnson and the classic four-point play that turned out to be the game winner there. The Knicks wound up closing them out, winning in 6. And that was the last time the Knicks clinched a playoff series win at Madison Square Garden. They played them again the following year in 2000 in the Eastern Conference Finals. And remember, the Pacers won that in 6, closing the Knicks out in Game 6 at the Garden. I was at that game, and I'll never forget. At the end of the game, Reggie Miller kissing the court at the Garden as the Pacers won that and got into the NBA Finals for the first time. They would eventually lose in the Finals to the Lakers that year. And then I mentioned the series in 2013, how that ended. So this will be the 8th time the Knicks and the Pacers will play in the playoffs with the Pacers holding a 4-3 lead. This has been a tremendous rivalry over the years. And remember this, Knicks fans, okay? Absolutely must win Game 1 at the Garden. I can't emphasize the point enough how big tonight's game is. The Knicks have never won a playoff series in their history when they lost Game 1 at home. Never, ever, ever. So keep that in mind, Knicks fans. And so that's why, to me, tonight is a must win. And remember, two of their 4 series losses to Indiana, the Knicks have lost Game 1 at home. I mentioned 95, and the same thing happened in 2013. So they really need to win this game tonight, no doubt about it. If they don't, I'm going to be concerned about this series going forward. And again, similar to the Rangers have no house money at all. The Rangers have to win the Stanley Cup as far as I'm concerned. There is nothing, you know, a deep run is not good enough. They got to win it all, you know, with the kind of regular season that they've had. And as far as the Knicks, you know, they'll get the house money if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and play the Boston Celtics, who I fully expect will be there. Cleveland won their Game 7 yesterday against Orlando. I don't see any way Boston loses to the Cavaliers. I've said this before. The only team in the East that can beat Boston is the Knicks. That's it. So they need to win this series again, and the pressure is still on them to win. If they lose this series, I got to look at it as a disappointing year. But we'll see what happens as Jalen Brunson tonight will go for his 4th consecutive 40-plus point game in the playoffs. The only guy to do that in Knicks history, Bernard King. He did it back in 1984. So, and really, you know, seriously, when I look at Jalen Brunson now, to me, he's become a hybrid, a combination of Clyde Frazier and Bernard King. That's what he's become. You know, a combination of the greatest Knick point guard of all time, maybe the greatest Knick of all time, and the greatest Knick scorer of all time in Bernard King. And that's what Jalen Brunson's become. And he needs to be great again in this series against the likes of Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner and all these guys with Indiana. So here we go again. Knicks Pacers 8.0 as they will play for the eighth time overall in their unbelievable playoff history. It has really been something else. But again, Knicks fans, must win game one tonight at the Garden, and we'll see how it plays out tonight in just, like I said, a time to remember at Madison Square Garden. If you are a fan of the Knicks and Rangers, let's be honest, guys, it does not get any better than what's going on right now. All right, Beningo, the Yoda Pain Podcast. Let's get the sponsors in here. We'll rock and roll. We start with the Hackensack Brewing Company. You know, everybody's asking me, when is the next live podcast going to be? I don't know the answer. You know, we'll get that straightened out. I got to talk to my daughter. I got to talk to Mike Jones over at the Brewing Company. We'll let you know. It'll be happening soon. And you know the deal, located 10 minutes off the George Washington Bridge, less than 30 seconds off Route 4. And beautiful, speaking of Billy Joel, who needs a house out in Hackensack? Is that all you get for your money? As I always say, Billy, who needs a house out in Oyster Bay? I'm sure Oyster Bay is nicer than Hackensack, but whatever. The tap room's open 4:30 to 10 Monday through Friday, 2 to 10 Saturday, 12 to 8 on Sunday, 78 Johnson Avenue in Hackensack. When you get there, try my Yoda Pain beer. You got the jet version, the jet packaging, the Met packaging, the Knick packaging, and TJ did a great job with the Knick packaging. It's got the spoked roof and all from the Garden. It's tremendous. Go check it out. See Mike Jones, see TJ, everybody over there. Tell them I sent you the Hackensack Brewing Company, 78 Johnson Avenue in Hackensack, right behind the Tombstones. We got Tombstones right now for the Philadelphia 76ers and Tombstones right now for the Washington Capitals. And there is a few more Tombstones at the ready right now at the Brewing Company. But we'll let you know when the next live podcast will be. You need work done on your car? You need tires? You need your car inspected? You know where you got to go. You got to go to the Anita Discount Tire in beautiful Rivervale, New Jersey, Westwood Avenue. My wife was there on Saturday. We had to get a little adjustment. We had to get that, you know, the stuff that cleans, that when the thing that comes out, the spigot, the clean.
The windshield washer, the sprayer.
The windshield washer sprayer, says my wife. And Johnny put it in for her, did a great job. You need anything done with your car, go see the guys at Anita. Go see my son Johnny. Go see Ari. His boss, go see everybody over there. Rob, one of the best mechanics there is. Anita Discount Tire, Rivervale, New Jersey. Beautiful Westwood Avenue in Rivervale, New Jersey. Not right down the street from the Rivervale Country Club where I got my first hole-in-one. Got to play there soon. I know my wife always loves playing at Rivervale.
When I passed, they were loaded.
Yeah.
Parking lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, loaded. Of course. Rivervale Golf Course is one of the top golf courses in northern New Jersey. There's no doubt about it. Very tough course, not easy. That's why my wife loves it so much, because she loves the challenge of playing there. Loves every second of it.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, that's where I got my first hole-in-one on the 14th hole there back in, 2018 I got it? I got to look on my plaque I got. But what year was my first hole-in-one there? 2018? Was that when it was? What year? The first one. 2017. July, right? July 21st, 2017. That was my first hole-in-one. Amazingly enough, I have three, which is just ridiculous when you think about it, because I'm not good enough to have three. But check out Anita Discount Tire, Rivervale, New Jersey. And then, of course, DraftKings. You want to bet on the NBA playoffs. You want to bet on the NHL play, whatever you want to bet on. Game 7 last night as the Dallas Stars knocked out the defending champion Vegas Golden Knights in 7, winning 2-1 in that game 7 in Dallas. You want to bet on whatever you want to bet on. What you got to do is you got to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the code ODAPAIN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook. Check it out. Again, use the code OTHEPAIN, OTHEPAIN. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, or you can visit www.1800gambler.net in New York. It's 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. The only way to go, bet on whatever you want, the baseball, whatever you want to bet on, all the playoffs, you got to check out. You got to do it only in one place, and that's DraftKings. And, of course, our friends at Manscaped. I hope people out there, some of my good buddies that are out there that listen to the show here, that they're, you know, go out and get the lawnmower 5.0, will you? Because as I've said, guys, and we all know this is true, all right? You want to look your best down there, not only for you, but for her too, right? I mean, you know, I mean, come on.
What a difference.
And what a difference, right? It makes an unbelievable difference. My wife gets even more excited. And the illusion of having a couple more inches, and we all want a couple more inches, even if it's just only the illusion of it. And nobody does it better than Manscaped. You got to use the Lawnmower 5.0. Check it out. It's the only way to go. Don't use that stupid big scissor that I was using for years. And, you know, we had a big accident not too long ago, and that was the end of it. You know, get me the lawnmower, will you, please? You don't want to draw. There's nothing worse. Let me tell you, I can't think of many worse moments than drawing blood from the family jewels, okay? You don't want that to happen, all right? Listen to me, all right? No. It's happened to me, and it's just, it's traumatic, you know? If you got to put a little Band-Aid on the family jewels, you don't really want to be doing that, okay? So the only way you want to avoid any kind of disaster like that, you got to use the Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0. Check it out, guys. It is the only way to go, all right? And, you know, you're not going to get nicked. And, again, you're going to keep it smooth and safe, and you can trim with confidence and fancy a fresh, a stress-free shave, and you can save some money. Head over to manscaped.com and snag 20% off plus free shipping with the code OTHEPAIN with Manscaped. It's easy grooming, no surprises, and a couple extra inches too, guys. You know the deal. All right, Beningo, the OTHEPAIN podcast. It is a Monday. It is May 6, 2024. The weather's getting better. We had a horrible day yesterday. It didn't matter because you had the Rangers and all of that. But a little better today, 70, still a little rainy. Tomorrow is supposed to be stellar. We're playing golf tomorrow at our usual place in the Paramus Golf Course, which we absolutely love playing. Like the Paramus Golf Course for my wife is the antithesis of Rivervale. You know, I want to play Rivervale. I'm like, Rivervale. You know, I'm not ready for Rivervale. She's only been playing now 15 years. You know what I mean? She's never going to be really ready for Rivervale, but we want to play there soon. So, great golf course. Seriously, if you are looking to play a top-flight golf course up in northern New Jersey, Rivervale Country Club, and tell them I sent you, extremely challenging course. You know, I got to say this, too, about golf, and I want to get to the Mets in a minute, who got swept over the weekend by the Rays down in Tampa. You know, before we get to them, let me say this, too. You know, golf is a – doesn't golf make you crazy? If you play enough golf, and I'm not the greatest golfer in the world, but I hold my own, okay? You right? No, one of the big problems with golf is that most golfers think they're better than they really are. I mean, it's unbelievable, right? Think about it. Everybody thinks they're better than they are. And I will say this, too, and I don't – not that I do, because I don't. I know where I am as a golfer. But let me say this, all right? One thing I want to tell everybody, I tell this to my wife too, don't get hung up on your score, all right? Because everybody, what'd you shoot when you played yesterday? It doesn't matter what I shot, you know? I could shoot from anywhere from a 110 to a 90, right? It doesn't, really, any time. Just because you don't score well doesn't mean you're not hitting the ball well. Maybe it means you're not putting well. Maybe it means your short game is bad. So, you know, get over what your score is. And most of the time when a guy gives you the score, they're lying about it anyway. How many mulligans did you take? Okay? How many times did you move the ball on the ground? This is something that makes me crazy too about golf, okay? To all my golf friends, and everybody, just about everybody I know does this, okay? And it makes me crazy. Moving the ball, like
even in the fairway,
like somebody, you'll be in the fairway and you'll see the guy move the ball a little bit. What the hell are you doing? You can't do that. Can't be moving the ball. What are you doing?
I love when they tell you.
And how?
I'm a 10 handicap.
Right. You're right. They'll tell you they're a 10 handicap, right? Then they'll hit three tee shots because the first two they hit, they either lost them or whatever they did with them. One went this way, one went that way, or one went nowhere, right? And then they'll move the ball in the fairway. You can't do that. Not to mention the, you know, how many times you see guys that do not, here's another thing that gets me crazy about golf, guys that do not putt out. You'll have like a 5-footer, and there is, let me tell you right now, you can miss any putt, okay? Even the pros, you see that happen even with the pros. Any putt is missable. I don't care how close it is. Maybe if it's hanging on the hole, it isn't. But any putt is missable. That always makes me crazy. Guys picking, they pick the putt up and then with a 5-footer, no, go putt it out. And then they'll tell you, oh yeah, yeah, I parred the hole. Well, you didn't finish the par.
Right.
Crazy. But that's golf. I just a couple of my pet peeves as far as the golf world is concerned. One thing you never see from me is any of that. My wife doesn't do it either.
I hate it.
Whatever my score is, it is. If I shoot a 125, that's what it is. I had a brutal day. So don't get hung up on a score. Hit the ball, right? Hit the ball consistently and then work on your putting. And if there's one thing worth practicing, it's putting. Short game and putting, that's the thing. No doubt about it. All right. Beningo, the Yoda Pain podcast. So the Mets got swept in Tampa Bay over the weekend. And I'm now they're two games under 500. Here's what I'm concerned about. Edwin Diaz now has blown two games this year where he gave up home runs that cost him the game. We saw it again yesterday. He was in the game in the ninth inning. The Mets led 5-4. There was two out, nobody on, and he gave up a home run to Randy Arozarena to tie the game. And the Mets eventually lost it in the extra inning, 7-6. Got to be a little worried about that. You do. The starting pitching overall has been good. Severino wasn't great yesterday. He walked six guys. He did have the lead when he left at the end of the fifth inning. And for the most part, the bullpen has really been good. Reed Garrett's been outstanding, you know, but they weren't great. Lopez has been very, very good. Diekman gave it up in the extra innings here. But I'm a little worried about Diaz. I got to tell you that. A little worried about him. Still early. I don't want to get crazy, but I am a little worried about him. And the Mets aren't hitting like they should be. I mean, Alonso is mired in a, what is he, about 2 for his last 40 or something like that? Something along those lines. You know, they miss Alvarez. You know, they're not getting a lot from the catching position with Narvaez and Nito. I'll tell you one thing that's really hurting the Mets. Teams are stealing bases left and right against them. The only guy, they've only thrown 3 runners out all year, and all 3 of the runners thrown out were by Nito. He had one yesterday in the Tampa game. But teams are running left and right, and usually that's on the pitching. Usually on the pitching. But, you know, that's been a problem so far for the Mets this year. Again, they're not hitting like they should be. Alonso right now is just not hitting. I mean, he's down to 206. Like I said, he's mired in like a 2-for-40 slump. Lindor is starting to hit a little bit right now. But they get swept in Tampa, not good. The one bright spot was this kid, Christian Scott, who came up from AAA and pitched 6 2/3 innings of one-run ball the other night in a game that was the game that they wound up losing. I think it was 3-1. What was the final score of that game? I think it was 3-1. But nevertheless, so he looked good. That's the one bright spot over the weekend. The Mets go to St. Louis now for a series with the Cardinals, and we'll see where they go from here. But 16-18 now on the year. And in the middle of a 3-game losing streak as they get swept. The first time all year, by the way, Tampa has swept anybody as they get swept in that 3-game series in Tampa by the Rays. So it was a Buto, I believe Jose Buto will get the start tonight for the Mets as they open up that series against the Cardinals. All right, everybody have a great week. Check me out again on Friday. Let's go Rangers. Let's go Knicks. And let's go Mets as well. But check it out. Game 1 tonight, Knicks and the Pacers at the Garden, a game that they better win. They've never won a series when they lost game one at home. Everybody, as usual, have a great week. All the love.